Does your kitchen need tunifying before the holidays? Kitchen Tune-Up will help you select the right service to meet your kitchen goals and budget. Call 810-488-9778 or visit us at kitchentuneup.com to set up a virtual consultation.
And good morning. This is 1380 WPHM. Hope you had a great Christmas and enjoyed the weekend and enjoyed our special Michigan Monday broadcast this past Monday. Don't worry, if you want to hear more of some of our best interviews of the year, stick around, as coming up on Thursday, New Year's Eve, Paul Miller is going to do his year in review with some of the most interesting people that he talked to in 2020. Speaking of interesting people in 2020, first of all, joining us on the line right now is Emily Lawler, who's interesting in and of herself. She is the political reporter at the State Capitol in Lansing. Emily, good morning.
Hey, thanks. I'm going to put interesting person on my resume now.
And that is our segue into the first part of our conversation here, is that this past weekend, you and the folks at MLive.com put together a list of some of the most interesting people of 2020 at the statewide level. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, one of the things that the pandemic taught us in our newsroom, and I'm sure newsrooms across the state and nation this year, is just how important some of the individuals in our communities are. So much of the change that we saw this year, so much of the what helped people get through the pandemic was just, one person doing their job really well, or one person stepping up to fill a void that they saw, or, get resources to their community. And I think that was such an important part of 2020 that it can be easy to overlook because of all the collective bad stuff that happened, but there were a lot of people who made our everyday lives a little bit better.
Now, I'd have to imagine that on this list that you compiled, Governor Whitmer probably falls somewhere on that list.
Well, she's in a separate analysis we've got going, but certainly her health chief, Dr. Calzone, if you had ever heard her name before the coronavirus pandemic, it was probably associated with youth vaping. She helped the governor lead that charge to treat that as a public health emergency in 2019. But in 2020, her role just completely shifted, and she took on this leadership role, and she's someone that people across the state were looking to for guidance on everyday activities and also big decisions. She really expanded how she fit into state government, and of course became sort of a public face of the crisis's response by being at all of Governor Whitmer's press briefings.
And if I were to compile a similar list here locally in the Blue Water area, I think I would put Dr. Annette Mergentant, who is the medical health officer for our local health department, at the top of our list. This coronavirus pandemic has really made us treasure those local health officials and just how important they are to our community.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, aside from just public health officials, I mean, our whole communities have had to retool. We profile a restaurant owner who has gone from sort of a high-end fine dining model to a takeout model in the last year. So I think that, there are people in every line of work almost and in every line of community service who have had to change what they're doing this year in response to the pandemic, and not only the pandemic, but, other disasters we had, like the floods in Midland recently.
You're absolutely right, Emily. We had thousands who had to evacuate in mid-Michigan. We had the failure of dams along the Tittabawassee River, millions of dollars worth of property damage, but that story was still not enough to overshadow COVID-19. Another example, I would say, would be the Black Lives Matter and George Floyd protests that occurred just shortly after that dam failure back in the early part of the summer. And one of those 20 interesting people that you highlighted was the sheriff of Genesee County. Tell us about that.
Yeah, he was became sort of a national figure. You know, obviously across the nation, we saw a lot of protests related to the George Floyd killing, and a lot of them turned violent, right? Sort of required additional control, and some resulted in the destruction of property. But you know, in Flint, Michigan, which is a city with a rich history of protesting, by the way, the Genesee County Sheriff really sort of diffused it all. You know, he spoke with me recently about this, and he described it as pretty much the worst tactical decision he could have made. But he put down his baton and took off his helmet, and you know, they asked him to march with him, and he did. And so he's really tried to take that spirit of community and coming together into a lot of his work now. And that was definitely a pivotal moment, I think, and put Michigan on the national stage again for how we handled this.
You're talking about Flint and the sheriff of Genesee County, and we're speaking with Emily Lawler from MLive. Let's go a little bit west to Shiawassee County, shall we? Another individual who certainly made the news this year was a barber who is maybe only known in the community of Owosso, but became a national figure, it seems like, almost overnight.
Yeah, he was Carl Mankey, and he runs a barbershop. And, you know, during the height of our stay-at-home order, I suppose you'd say, in May, made the decision to open up shop. You know, he says it was a pretty simple financial-based decision. He needed the money, and he opened up and sort of became a beacon for people who, you know, were frustrated with the stay-at-home orders and were sort of fed up and didn't think that they should be required to stay at home and cease all of their normal activities. When I spoke with him recently, he said he had people travel from basically as far away as you can get in the U.S. He had one guy who drove from Los Angeles, took him 3 days, came to him, got a haircut, and drove back. So if you remember that point where barbershops became sort of the flashpoint in the debate around stay-at-home closures, I mean, he really sparked that and I think caused us all to think about, you know, this sort of broader orders. And of course, as they've come back more recently, we've seen them be much more narrowly tailored. And actually, they haven't closed the salons and barbershops again.
This past week, we saw lawmakers in Lansing, Emily, pass another round of COVID relief bills. Governor Whitmer expected to sign those. And, you know, we could be looking at, you know, several millions of dollars going to things such as first responders and teachers to help them get vaccinated. We're going to see an extension of unemployment through March. But I have to believe that this is not the last round of COVID relief that we're going to see at the state capitol. Do you know if there's already talks of doing more?
Well, I think that we'll have to wait to see until the next legislature is seated. I think that, you know, right now this is what the current leadership has accomplished. The House is flipping over to House Speaker-elect Jason Wentworth in January. So I have not heard his priorities there yet. But, you know, obviously the state's also still waiting for some federal assistance. They've spent down a lot of the federal funds that have been allocated early in the year, and there was just another federal package that came through, but I believe that on the federal level there's some calls for more that could affect what Michigan's able to do as well. But yeah, I mean, the package that was passed recently is pretty significant in the picture of the overall budget, close to $500 million. And like you said, the biggest part of that is going to extend unemployment benefits, because Michigan had shortened those under the Rick Snyder administration and temporarily lengthened them during the COVID-19 pandemic. But think there's some recognition that unemployment support needs to continue as we're still facing high unemployment levels here in Michigan.
Looking ahead, and you kind of alluded to the budget here a little bit, Emily. I know we were getting some pretty dire forecasts last year on, you know, what the budget situation might look like, and then those shortfalls were able to be filled by some federal assistance, and they weren't nearly as bad as what was initially projected. Is there any feeling on going into 2021, what kind of shortfall, if any, we might be looking at again?
Yeah, I do think that there probably will be some belt tightening that is expected to go on. And, you know, the big X factor, I think, like it was the last budget cycle, is the federal assistance, what's coming, how we can direct it, how flexible it is, and what holes it can fill. So I think that that's sort of to be determined as we roll forward. But, of course, in January and February, the big two things we expect are the governor's State of the State address and then the governor to roll out her budget proposal. So eagerly looking for both of those things, and expect those to happen on schedule.
Finally, Emily, and speaking about the year in review, is there maybe a story or certain article that you were most proud of over the past year?
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of really good coverage, and I would highlight our election coverage as something that we were able to accomplish in a year that, frankly, we expected the election to be the biggest thing we covered in January, and it was clear by March that it would not be, especially when we saw the primary night results for the presidential primary. It was followed, like, it was like results, first positive COVID cases, and I sort of knew at that point. I think I said to my colleagues, like, who would have thought that the election would be the second biggest thing we cover today? And then that sort of ended up being true for the whole year. So
true.
I'm really proud of my colleagues who pulled out some good election coverage in a year where, frankly, it was easy to forget for a few months that the election was going on. And I'd be remiss if I didn't do a hat tip to Malachi Barrett, who led our presidential coverage, did a really good job and followed it all the way through and was in the room when the electors, in a much debated session in the Senate chamber, voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for Michigan's presidential elector ticket. So.
On that note, we'll wrap up this interview, which will be the last time that we speak in 2020, Emily. We'll definitely check in with you again in 2021. And as you mentioned, I don't think there's going to be any shortage of news to talk about, at least in the first half of next year.
Well, thanks so much for having me on and welcoming me as a guest in 2020, and I'll talk with you next year.
It's always great hearing from you, and of course, we'll be reading your articles on MLive.com, including your most recent one about the 20 most interesting people from 2020, and we'll catch you on Off the Record on PBS as well from time to time, too. Looking forward to it, Emily.
Hey, thanks. Have a good new one. Happy New Year.
That's Emily Lawler. She's a reporter with MLive at the state capitol. And this is Caleb filling in for Paul on 1380 WPHM.